Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Mike Maxian for Chad Hartman, News Talk 830 WCCO. Obviously, St. Cloud State Crookston dropping their football programs, golf programs, too, at St. Cloud created quite a stir this week, and it also creates the questions as to what is it we should spend our money on in higher education. And I am long been an advocate that sports are one of the greatest teachers, the greatest class that you can take, because where else are you offered a course where you have to be reliant on other people, you have to be a good teammate, you have to play with people you don't like and people you do like, you have to have grit when things don't go your way. And I just think it's part of the ultimate education process. I also understand that there are financial ramifications to everything that you do, and St. Cloud made a decision on just that. Butch Raymond was the commissioner of that league, the NSIC. He also coached basketball at St. Cloud State, Mankato State, Augsburg, and was the athletic director at Southwest Minnesota State, Mankato. So there's no one with a more thorough background than he on just that, and we bring him into the conversation. Now, I love this, Butch. Now that you're retired, I can get a hold of you sometimes.
That's right, Mike. You can find me wherever you want. So, nice to talk to you again.
You too. Always good to talk to you, Butch. I'm sure when you looked at that, you thought about some of the meetings and some of the things that you do, initiatives and ways that you try to keep programs afloat. How did it strike you when you saw that St. Cloud and Crookston eliminated football?
Well, very honestly, I guess I wasn't tremendously surprised by what happened. You know, it's certainly unfortunate that it had to happen, and there's a lot of people that are involved, whether you're talking about players, coaches, fans, administrators of the schools, the league that they're in. It just, it affects all those people, and it's kind of unfortunately that's where higher education is right now, Mike. It's getting more and more expensive, and enrollments in many cases are dropping because of the students that are out there, and it just forces some very difficult decisions that people have to make.
You know, people get confused on this, Butch, when a story like this breaks and they say, well, not enough people going to the football games, that they weren't getting a gate. And you realize how many people don't understand what Division II, Division III athletics looks like. It's not the gate that supports it. You have to make a decision, and you certainly have donors, but it's an overall budget that you're looking at. How do they fund? Does every program in the NSIC have the same funding mechanisms? Is it based on student fees? Is it based on what?
Yeah, I think in at least speaking for the Northern Sun, which would be the Division II league that I understand the best, basically the funding for that comes from gate receipts. That would be kind of one part of it. Another part of it would be most universities have student fees that students pay, so that they get into everything from theater to music to athletics, and they get in free, although they're paying a fee for that. And then the also would be how the university itself has an opportunity to fund it through money that they get from the state, those sorts of things. So it's kind of a three-way street for most universities in the Division II in the Northern Sun.
Do programs, athletic programs specifically, rely heavily on donations from their alumni?
Yes, they do. That would be, I guess I would put that into another category of corporate sponsorship. And there isn't a school in the Northern Sun that doesn't have a sophisticated funding program where they're out into the community asking for corporate people to be a part of their programs.
Is there any way that they could revive the football program at St. Cloud just based on if enough alums or whoever wants to give money, gave money? Or do you think that ship has sailed?
Well, it's hard for me to answer because, having retired in 2014, I really haven't been a part of it. Although there was a part when I was the commissioner that St. Cloud was contemplating dropping football.
Yes.
At that time. And what happened is that the students went to work and increased their fees, and that had a lot to do with them being able to maintain football. And at that time, the Northern Sun, as part of its bylaws, said that if you didn't have football, if you didn't sponsor football, you couldn't be in the Northern Sun. Now, that has been recently changed, which is, I think, is why the two schools dropping football has happened. That bylaw has been changed, so that's not part of it anymore, part of the Constitution.
Does that scare you a little bit, since that bylaw has changed, that more it might be easier for more schools to drop football?
Well, it certainly it is. It was not possible before, and now we're seeing two schools are doing. So I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think what they're doing, what's happening, is that they're just trying to make sure. I believe the rule is right now that if you sponsor football, you have to have 10 other sports in the Northern Sun,
mm-hmm.
and if you a minimum, and if you don't sponsor football, you have to have a minimum of 11 other sports that the Northern Sun sponsors. So they're trying to enhance other sports, football being probably one of the more expensive ones.
Who ultimately makes the decision? Is it the president of the institution? Is it a board of trustees? How do these things get manifest and end up? Who really decides?
Well, my guess would be that it obviously starts with the president, and the board that they answer to is a little bit different in the Division II schools. They don't have a board itself, but it starts with the president and his or her administrative staff that they have, which in just about every case, a part of that staff would be the athletic director. And then those are kind of the people. Now they could, ask some outside community people to help or beyond that, but I'm not exactly sure what happened in these two instances because I wasn't involved.
Yeah, and everybody can come up with their own structure that way, huh?
Yes, that's true. And Crookston, being a branch of the University of Minnesota, they have a different answering board that they do than what St. Cloud State does because they're not that kind of an institution.
You know, and there's a great philosophical question there too, Butch, and I want to get your take on it. But Crookston, they came into the league and just never had success in football. It was very difficult for them to, for whatever reason, to recruit players. And I don't know their scholarship situation or facility situation relative to the rest of the conference. But are there times when you look at a program like that that's really non-competitive and you say, it's really not serving anybody too well to keep doing this? Or is there still great value, you think, in the kids being able to participate?
Well, we had those discussions with Crookston when I was involved, and obviously there was a movement that Crookston would look for maybe a different league that they could be in and be more competitive, but they wanted to maintain their Division II status, and there isn't really another Division II league that they would fit into without a tremendous amount of travel and all that sort of thing. So they liked it. They liked Division II in terms of scholarships in football because it gave them a chance to recruit more diversity, more people from different parts. Crookston is a relatively small university. It's located in a community that not necessarily has a large population, and it's surrounded by some really good four-year schools. Like, you've got Concordia Moorhead, you've got North Dakota State, you've got North Dakota University, you've got Bemidji State. So it's really a tough place for them to recruit. And they also have a limited curriculum compared to some of the other universities. So they had a lot of things going against them. And I take my hat off to them the way they've done. They've become very competitive in basketball, both men's and women's, and softball and baseball and volleyball, some of those other sports. The one that has been difficult for them is football.
And I guess that's probably true for any place where it's a numbers game like that. Now, football is always going to be the most difficult?
I think so. And also, what happens, the level of competition in the Northern Sun at the top, where if you're in the first division there, you're very, very good in football right now with a couple of national championships at Minnesota Duluth, and Minnesota State Mankato played in it in 2014, and they're one of the four teams that are left going into the playoffs this Saturday.
Yeah, yeah, and they've done it for a long time. Last question, Augustana. Now, thinking about going Division I, we've seen many go Division I, and you saw, of course, at one point in time when you were coaching in the league, North Dakota, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, and South Dakota were all part of that same NCC. When you see Augustana making the move, maybe St. Thomas, is that a very, very difficult move to make? Is that all financial, or what's the most important component if you want to go Division I?
Well, I think I think for those schools that are making the move to Division One, a lot of times people automatically look at that as an athletic thing, and that's certainly a part of the puzzle. But also, I think what they're doing is looking at their enrollment. They feel that they can entice or recruit more students. They probably are trying to add more academic programs to their school, which would enable them. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And each school, it's different a little bit. For Augustana, they're surrounded by South Dakota U, South Dakota State, North Dakota State, North Dakota U, schools that are playing in Division One, and those are schools that they'd like to compete with if they can, for students as well as for athletes. So they're trying to put themselves, if they make this move, they say they're going to, but they haven't completed everything yet, put them on the same level. St. Thomas, on the other front, unfortunately, as both you and I know, that you went to Hamline and I went to Augsburg, and they've kind of, the MIAC has kind of said that they don't want St. Thomas in there. So they've been forced into making a decision of either going Division II or staying in Division III in a different league, or making the move to Division I. And it's a very exclusive school academically. They've been very good athletically, and I think that's what they see as they're trying to make the move to Division I to enhance those programs.
Butch, appreciate it very much. Always good to visit with you, and I'll see you at the Final Four if I don't see you before.
All right, Mike, and before you hang up, I will apologize for not recruiting you back in high school.
Thank you.
You should have come to Mankato State, and you went to Hamline. I get it off my chest. So
thank you. I didn't want to bring it up, but I was going to if you didn't.
I know.
Thanks, Butch.
Happy holidays, Mike.
Yeah, you too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.